Hallelujah. Ooh, I'm already on. I like that. It sounds like I won't have to shout either. Praise the Lord. Well, it's great to be here, and I appreciate your pastor and his wife being with us this last weekend and just sharing the insights, the moments, the time. And my wife actually is a daughter of Melbourne. This is where her roots are. I'm so happy that we're here. You know, and it was, I believe, a divine connection or thought or time. So I believe this morning being here with you is also a divine connection. Over the years, what I've discovered is that you can leave a word or a dynamic, an insight, and just one word, one dynamic can change your life forever. It's one decision can make it. I look back on my life and I say, you know what? If I had not made that decision, my life would be totally different. And so I'm just believing God right now that as you're hearing the word, that it gives you a wisdom to make another decision, another step for your future. And as long as you're living and breathing, doesn't matter what age you have. Remember, we're dealing with billions of years. A lot of people think, oh, you know, I made it to 65. Now I've finished my life. No, you haven't even begun your life. And so I believe that you'll get that insight. So just say, I agree with that. You'll get that insight, that revelation, that dynamic. I call them dynamics because a dynamic is something that, once it starts, it has this self-energizing power. And so that's what I like to give. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word, it became flesh in me. And that Word became flesh, he's talking about Jesus came. And Jesus was the Word made flesh. But now, he says, as I am, so will you be. You know, the works that I do, shall you do also. So this is his, we are the continuation of his flesh. And we have to be comfortable with that. Because he is, where is he living? In this flesh. And so you say, well, throw away whatever what you think you are. You are what God thinks you are. You know? Not what you are, what God thinks you are. That's what you are. He believes in you. He banks on you. And he expects the best for you. He bought and paid for it already. And it's available. So I believe you'll pick up some of that. We have a little video here. We have a lot of videos. I don't know how many you saw on that. But this one, I just said to you, pick this one because I remember that Ronald Reagan was on the beginning of it. That's why I picked this one. But if they're all good. Some of them are great history, but this one is short and sweet. Praise God. Go for it. It's a little dated now that we actually have 96 tenths right now that are across the former, that's about 23 nations, the former Eurasia or Soviet Union, and whatever you want to call it now. It's not called just Russia. It's all opened up. Amazing stories of opening it up. It's actually just amazing. I think about opening up that part of the world. Leslie speaks fluent Russian. I don't. I can speak pretty good Spanish, that's about it. But hey, before we get started, I come from a family of writers. My father was an editor for Detroit News. My brother was an international editor for Chicago Tribune. And the other brother was, we have a lot of brothers and sisters. So my family was either writing or they were politicians, one or the other. That's my background, my family. One was a spokeswoman, spokeswoman for the senator of Michigan, Spencer Abraham. They decided that at some point that the women do better at representing the men than the men. So my other sister was a spokeswoman to the governor of England. I think he's now the president of the governors of America. And she was his spokeswoman. And so they're all doing something like that. I had to keep quiet what I do. So, we have, as a writer, I've actually got some wonderful books coming up, but right now, I'd like to consider my life as just on an adventure. Say these words, on an adventure. Don't consider yourself like, I'm a Christian. Don't just say, I'm on a spiritual adventure. That's all you didn't arrive when you met Jesus. You started something when you met Jesus, And it's not just you started. He started something in you. The bomb exploded on the inside of you, and it killed the old you. And now a new life has arisen in you. And that life is far, there's no comparison. There's no comparison to the life you had. I had a great life before I met Christ. I was the number one tennis player at Michigan State University, captain of the team, had won or runner-up in over 100 tennis tournaments, and was creating a career. I asked the coach, what is it you want to do when you leave college? And I said, I want your job, because I liked it. 44,000 students, I liked the job. And he said, what? I said, you asked me a question, I gave you a serious answer. I want your job. He didn't say anything. And the next day, I got a phone call from the athletic director for Central Michigan University, 22,000 students. And he said, Coach Strobeck called me, and he wants me to interview you for the coach of the university. And I said, sounds good to me. And so I got an interview that it was already a plotted result. The interview was like 10 minutes. And he says, you got the job. Basically, I got the job because Drobeck coach said something to him, So I was on my way. I was going to be doing tennis. And I got interrupted by Jesus on a tennis court. Actually, that's when he started. I was just hitting some backhands. And he kept talking to me, saying, read the Bible. I didn't know it was him, but it was somebody I couldn't see, saying, read the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And so I said, I went up to my opponent, because I said, listen, somebody invisible is talking to me. I'm not losing my mind. And he's saying, read the Bible. Isn't that crazy? And he said, that's not crazy. Come follow me. So he took me to his car, opened up the trunk. Inside were hundreds of Bibles and books. And that began my adventure. I wasn't the quickest person to discover what's going on. I just started to read. Thank God I started with the New Testament. I don't know why, but started to read. Figured out that God was trying to say something. And when I took that step, deciding that there was something between, there's a wall between us and God until we meet Jesus. And so there was something I knew that was just stopping this communication with God. So I took a step based on what I read in that book, and that's when Jesus came into my life, and that was really the beginning of an adventure, because I didn't know what it was to follow Jesus. I didn't have any church, no planning, no education, Bible education, or anything like that, even though I knew Latin, and I was at church every day. I had to be, because I was in Catholic schools every day of my life. We had to go to church every day, but yet it never rubbed off on me. So, but what rubbed off on me was that book, and then he had some other books in there. People said, you're known for your miracles or healings, and I'm like, well, I think all Christians should be known for doing what Jesus does, and that is preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers. Freely you receive, freely give. Whatever you got from him, give it away. And so that's what I did. I started, my school was actually 50-cent books. I don't even know if they make 50-cent books anymore. Do they still do that? Where you can, the book is cheap. and you can have at least a couple thoughts on it. So I started reading. Here's my deal with Jesus, because he appeared to me and gave me a conversation about my life and my future. And so I said, okay. I won't go into that now because I don't have too much time. But I opened up those 50-cent books and I said, Jesus, I'm going to make a deal with you. Whatever you did for anybody in one of these books, I said, I expect you, and I'm going to go after what that same experience happened to me. I was simply after experience. Just like as a tennis player, if I lost, I'd go to the wall and I'd start working on my stroke until I figured out how to improve that stroke enough not to lose again. So I said, I knew if you're going to do something, you've got to really focus on it, you've got to really develop it, and change to the point where you're going to be somebody else. So I said, well, I have zero experience in being a Christian. Now I know that you're alive. I don't have a clue what that means, but if you're alive and you did something for somebody else, then just like it was a tennis thinking. It was just like, okay, if you did it for somebody else, then I have to figure out how you're going to do it for me. So I just was reading and saw that there were some healings. That's all. I just saw that there were some healings in those books, 50-cent books. So the next day, I went to play tennis, and there my opponent was coming to me on crutches. He says, Kevin, I can't play. I said, why? He goes, because I broke my ankle, and it's in a cast, and the doctor says I won't be able to play for 8 weeks. And I said, don't worry. I said, I got some good news. And he goes, what do you mean you got good news? I said, listen, don't worry. Because I was number one player there at Michigan State, so it kind of gives you a little, you can tell people what to do in tennis. So I said, I sat down on the bench. I said, put your foot up on my lap. And he goes, why? I said, listen, I got some new information. Because I just read that 50-cent book, and it was a story of a healing. So that was the first time I saw that Jesus healed people, was in that book. So I just said, okay. He goes, what are you going to do? I said, listen, I'm doing something. It's information. It works. Just listen to me. I didn't have any doubt. Isn't it wonderful not to have doubt? Say this with me. I don't doubt anymore. Yeah, refuse to doubt. Don't live with the skeptics of life. Just believe the impossible. Part of what I'm speaking today, Leslie said, could you shorten your sermons a little bit, Kevin? So I did. I'm going to get to my sermon shortly. I put his foot on my, his leg on my lap, prayed over it just like I read in the book. And then I actually, because I could get away with it, because I was the best player in the area there, I actually tore off his cast. I know the doctor would be upset at that, but I was the one with the new information. So I said, now, put down the canes and crutches, and I said, now, jump. He goes, if I jump, Kevin, it's going to hurt. I said, no, this is new stuff. It works. I mean, it was been around for a couple thousand years, but it was new to me just 24 hours ago. Fresh stuff. Fresh bread. So, how many of you got stale bread you've been eating? Eat some fresh bread. He jumped, and he said, huh. He said, I didn't feel that. I said, jump again. He says, hey, what's going on here? He says, I said, keep jumping. So I made him jump and jump and jump. I said, are you okay? He goes, yeah. He goes, this is healed. He goes, what'd you do? I said, it's new. It's just new information. It has to do with the name of Jesus. Well, what's that? So I said, it's a new relationship. You don't have to understand that. But let's play. So we just went out and played. You know, that was my first healing, my great healing ministry. And my world was tennis, so that a lot of the healings were tennis people. I had my number six guy on the team. He hurt his back, went to the hospital, and the doctor says, "I'm sorry, your back ligaments are in serious condition. You won't be able to play tennis anymore. We're going to have to freeze." I don't know what this is about freezing your joints together or something. I don't know what the terminology is. Fusing your joints together, and you won't be playing tennis anymore. So he called me and he said, he didn't know I had this new power, you know. 24-hour power. And so he called me and he says, I'm in the hospital. Tomorrow they're going to do an operation. They're going to freeze my joints and my back. And I won't be, we were scheduled to play a tournament. He goes, I won't be playing the tournament. And it's just what the doctors say. He wasn't very happy. So I went to the hospital and I said, listen, I got some new information. Just let me do my thing and you'll be healed. And I said, before the doctors do their surgery, ask for one more x-ray. Okay. So I just prayed for him, and it was about a 10-second prayer. I mean, this was not even a holy prayer. Thank God it could have the name of Jesus, because I saw that his whole tribe of family was coming down the hall. So I knew that I was out in just a few seconds. You know, get out of here. So, our child is going to ruin his life. So I've got to go real quick here. So I just laid my hands on his back, prayed that prayer in the name of Jesus. I speak to these joints to be whole and healed from this point forward. And that was it. I talk about short prayers because I knew what was coming down the hall. And not everybody loves me. So I just said, listen, I said, get that x-ray done before any operation. And I went to the tennis tournament, and this tennis tournament was like in 4 days. I went there, and he shows up at the tennis tournament. And I said, hey, what's happening? He goes, there's nothing wrong with my back. The doctors can't understand it. My family can't understand it. He says, I think it has to do with this guy that you prayed in his name. He said, it's called Jesus. I said, you need to know Jesus. You know, Jesus doesn't have to heal just Christians. He can heal anybody. You know that. So I began a parade of miracles. And it was, what was it? Did you organize it? Absolutely no way. It was just people who say they're sick. That's all. We have, I don't know if they do it, Michigan. Who's the one from Michigan? You'll get over it. You'll get over it. In Michigan State, they have a big brother, brothers program where you become a brother of somebody who needs it. And I was part of that program. So I take a kid out once a week to do something, you know, fishing or whatever. So I took this boy out, which was normal pattern, and just had fun with him for the afternoon, take him back home. So his father, I took him back to his, he didn't have a mother, he just took him back to his father. And dropped him off, and it was a great day. Have a great day with your son. Grabbed his hand to shake his hand, and shook his hand, and he screamed. I'm like, whoa! I said, well, I'm sorry. What'd I do? What's up? He goes, his arm had been what do you call it when it's numb and frozen? It's just unusable. He hasn't used his arm in years. I didn't know the guy. I just was helping his kid. And so his arm was frozen. And he goes, yeah, he goes, this arm's been dead for like 20 years. And I can't lift, and you just pulled on it. That's not healthy. he said, I'm sorry, I screamed and all this. I'm like, well, he had a bunch of big pictures of Jesus, you know, the old pictures of Catholic Jesus, you know, everywhere. And so I said, do you see this guy? He goes, yeah. He goes, do you know his name? He goes, yeah, that's a picture of Jesus. I said, I'm going to do something. And Jesus is going to touch you right now. I went through the second 50-cent book, so I'm really prepared now. I'm an expert at this. And so I just did what I read in that. Actually, I didn't know. No one was healing arms in that book, but anyway, I figured that it could work. So I just grabbed his arm, prayed in the name of Jesus for it to be loose and free and that the life come back into it. I don't even know what that terminology is when your arm is dead, but it's just paralyzed, just unmovable, unusable. And so I just prayed over it, and I said, okay, now you got to do something. You know, faith, you want to know the definition of faith? The right definition of faith, I'll give it to you. And because you're human, you have to have it in a very short phrase, okay? The word faith should be just act. Act. What do you believe? You believe what you're doing. You know, faith is what you know and what you're doing about what you know. That's faith. Make it simple. Life has to be pretty simple for me, as you can tell. So I said, now grab something in the house here that you've not been able to grab with that hand. I said, I want you to lift it up above your head. I want you to grab it, lift it. So he said, well, there's a 5-gallon jug of water in the refrigerator. I've only been able to, you know, use my good hand to put it there and take it out. I said, use your other hand. So he goes, you know, that's going to hurt. I said, do it. So he went to the refrigerator, reached in, grabbed it. Life came back into his hand. Life came back. And he was so happy. He went from being a scowling old guy to a happy singing guy running around the house. First time he's done this in 20 years, you know. And he's just running around with that 5-gallon. And I said, wow. I wonder why more people don't do this. This is so easy. You know? And anyway, that was my beginning of being the healing minister. I believe Jesus is the healer, though. I do. I have some wild stories. Anybody here, you're young enough to go around the world? How about you're old enough to pay to go? Somebody send somebody around the world. Who is interested in going on an adventure? You're interested in going on an adventure? The guy from Michigan? I don't know if there's any hope there. Okay. You're the youngest guy, I think, right there. What's your name? Huh? Caleb. Caleb. Did you raise your hand too? Yeah? Okay. I want both of you to read this book. I only have one I'm giving. Okay, it's called High Adventures. And if you're going to go, you should read this book. It will get you excited to go. That doesn't mean you will return, but at least you will go. Can you afford to lose one of them? You think I'm joking. How to Minister to Cannibals is in this book. Because I have ministered to cannibals. And it was the happiest day of my life when I left them. It really was. I'm not kidding. It was the happiest day of my life. Okay, come on up here. I could throw it. It might hit somebody in the head. Here you go. Read it. Give it to your friend, whoever. Oops. Hey, Caleb. And you'll enjoy that. How many here are right now, you don't have a job, you're looking for a job? I know a lot of you probably don't have a job, but you're not looking for a job. Okay, you're looking for a job? Come on up here. All right, I wrote a book. This was for the country of Australia. And the head of organization there, I won't tell you the name, because this would probably be recorded somewhere. Somebody is recording me. Okay, you won't. By dozens. Okay. Well, anyway, that organization had me come in, and they didn't believe at all in prosperity, and they really ridiculed it, spoke against it, and then they called me in to do a 4-day conference on finances, and I'm like, I'm not the guy to do this, but then I said, well, I need this opportunity, so I'll just take it. And I studied and studied, but I studied not the way that you hear it. I believe in everything is about God's will is prosperity for us. I believe that. And listen to all that. It's on TV everywhere. But it's I spoke in a way that is practical, that makes good sense. One of the people from Silicon Valley, he called me. He owns one of those big companies over there. And he says, Kevin, I put this book as one of my top 10. And I'm like, you don't try to be nice to me. I said, this is not a top 10 book for somebody like you. And he goes, No, it's so simple and practical. It really is. This is a book that absolutely would be applied. So if you're looking, you'll find something as you read that. Amen? And this book is so expensive. I've had every publisher in America tell me, don't make that book. And it's too expensive. And the reason I said, forget it, I'm going to make it and give it, share it, and sell it. And it's got 30 pages of pictures in it. And they said, that's too expensive to put into a book. I said, but you don't understand today's people. They don't read. They like pictures. Isn't that the truth? I mean, you people might read still here. But this book actually has a lot of information in it. I had one pastor call me not too long ago, and he said, Kevin, I'm feeling really guilty reading your book. And I said, why? He said, because I've stolen 40 sermons out of it. So if you want, I can preach a sermon out of this book, I guess. So, But it's a great book. It's not going to be given away, though, because I only have a few of them here, a few of them in existence now. So I'm going to hold on to that. The pastor has one, though, so you can get 40 sermons. Next year, you can cover your covers. Okay, and every month we send out one of these. It used to be a whole written flyer with, you know, all sorts of folds on it and little magazine, but that's so expensive. It's cheaper just to send you one of these. And we make sure they're pretty, they have information, they're letting you know where we go, and right now we've got one of our representatives over in Europe, and he's working on some countries for us right there. We've got Ukraine, which is on fire right now with great revival. Do you know that there are places that are on fire for Jesus right now? That Mongolia is on fire for Jesus. An ancient people. I have three tents. These tents are over $20,000. Three tents moving across Mongolia right now. Because why? Because it is on fire. I couldn't believe it myself when I saw the crowds that were going to the tents in Mongolia. And I'm like, wow. Because we praise God, we can tell you stories. We broke open Central Asia. Do you know what Central Asia is? You probably don't. That's okay. It's kind of like Central Michigan or Florida. You know. You know it's there, you just don't know who lives there. Anyway, Mongolia is an ancient people, have a Muslim background. You know why they have a Muslim background? Okay, because when Genghis Khan, after he wiped out all of the north, all up to Poland where it stopped, but he wiped out everybody from Mongolia to Poland, and then he finally lost the battle in Poland. Thank God for the Poles, amen? So... Maybe it was what they were eating that got him. I don't know. But anyway, he went down south, and started fighting and started losing more men to the Muslims. I said, I'm losing more men to these Muslims. What is the deal with it? So he captured a bunch of Muslims and said, what is it that causes you to fight so fearlessly against us? He said, well, we get 72 virgins when we die. If we die trying to kill you. I tell you what, that excuse for being a Muslim goes a long way. You know, so many I preach to it that they believe this stuff. It's crazy stuff. Those poor virgins, 90, 71 of them there are just like, man, we've been ripped off. But anyway, that's why they became Islamic in Mongolia. Is because of war. They fought better if they were Muslims. Isn't that crazy? But people be crazy. Thank God for Jesus. Amen? Anyway, you can just sign up. Larry Hepler is here. He is a great friend who's been with us now, I don't know, decades now, and going, what is it? 27 years. And he'll help you in there. Just, you'll get this free. This is free. Say free with me.
Free.
Okay. That's you're welcome to have that. So, praise the Lord. Are you ready for some life out of a word? You know what? My glasses are not with me here. That's okay. They're somewhere in here. The reason I need them right now is because I wrote these notes down, and I think my pen was half full. So here we go. All right. This morning, I've been pondering. I got up early pondering what to speak here today. And also, my wife, when she woke up, she says, "Kevin, limit your sermon." So. Okay, it's like 11:15. Is that what it is? It's 11:10. Okay, I watch. Okay, good. All right. What I wanted to speak to you about, as I was pondering about understanding the times, understanding time. Okay, the times that you're living in. I'm going to start with that. If you don't know the times you're living in, you're going to miss out waiting for a new time, a new era. So you got to know where you are right now in time. All the information you have, if you don't use it in the time that you have, you've wasted it. So you've got to understand that. Second, the word begin. I like words. I like one word, actually. I just like, maybe I'm just not that smart. It's where you can just expand and have concepts. I like this. What does that word mean? The word begin, I'm going to share with you what that is. Because, you know, the four lepers, when they were at the gate, and the Syrian army was out at the gate of Jerusalem, and they were going to come in through that gate, and those four lepers are at that gate, and all the people of Jerusalem are inside the city. And they look at each other and say, "Why sit we here until we die?" In other words, we're definitely going to die when that Syrian army comes through this gate. So why don't we just go out to the army and see if they'll let us live? Maybe they'll even feed us. So they got up, they walked to the army, and that's all God needed from those lepers was just a walk. God never asked you to do something that you can't do. Have you ever met lepers? They are limited sometimes to what they can do, but they can walk. And so they walked out there. God used that to make their sound like the sound of a mighty army. Just those little steps that they were taking, he made that noise so loud, so powerful, that the whole army, Syrian army, thought that they were being under attack at that moment. And they started to run. They left all their stuff in their tents, and they left all their arms there. They thought that they were totally going to be destroyed by a huge army that they weren't aware of. And four lepers. Okay. What happened? If they did not begin to walk, nothing would have happened except that would have been the day they died. Okay? So begin. That's a big word. And then the concept called never too late. Never too late. I want to talk to you shortly about that as well. Some people in their heart, they just say, "I missed my window. I missed my time. I missed my opportunity." Have you ever just felt that way sometimes? Oh, I should have done this. I could have done that. And you just start resigning. You start living a life of what? Resignation. One of the most dangerous things that you can do is resign yourself. In your heart, you don't tell anybody you're actually resigned in your heart, but you are. You start to behave like there's no expectation. There's nothing better. There's no greater challenge for you. There's nothing that will make you do better, have better, think better, believe better. In other words, you start to resign yourself to, and you start, your new terminologies are, well, if it happens, it's supposed to happen because God wanted it to happen. And you start talking as if you're just some sort of puppet or something that has to be moved. And that's not, God created you and lives in you and will help you do whatever is in your heart to do. But you've got to bring back the passion in your heart. You got to discover. A sermon I have is called The Power of Desire. The name of the sermon is called, What Do You Want? What do you want? Say that with me. What do you want? You know who said that a lot? Jesus said that a lot. when all these sick people were coming up, can you imagine a blind guy who's been screaming? And finally, Jesus says, let him come up. So he's fighting through these people, and he's blind. And he's just trying to figure out where he's going. He finally gets to Jesus, and Jesus' question to him is, what do you want? That was his question to him. It's like, man, I thought you were going to do something great for me. What do I want? I'm blind. Yeah, but what do you want? Yeah, but what do you want? Well, I want to see. Okay, be it done unto you according to your faith. Eyes open up. Pop, eyes open up. I'm asking you this question this morning. What do you want? Say, oh, it doesn't matter to me. Well, then it doesn't matter to God if it doesn't matter to you. Because God likes to give what you want. You know, he doesn't want you to have what you don't want. Hallelujah. So, when we have time, we'll talk about that. And then I want to talk to you about the word, behold him. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if we can get there. Because and the reason I'm telling you this, because if we can get to it, okay? But your eyes are the most important thing that you have. Not the physical eye. The physical eye is very important that you have it. But whenever God wanted to do something for somebody, he always would get them to see what he was going to do. When the children of Israel crossed the river and they were going to, he said, I want you to walk around the city of Jericho 7 times. Well, why for 7 days did they walk around the city of Jericho? It wasn't to go for a walk. They've been walking in the desert for 40 years. Okay. But it was, I'd want you to see those walls coming down. You don't see them right now. You think those are impossible walls. But I want you to keep walking around. Why? Because I want you to catch a vision for what I want to do for you. I want to knock that city down for you. You're going to take all the land. And once your partner knocks down the walls of your enemy, you know you got the country. And so that's what he wanted them to see. He wanted them to have a vision. He wanted them, and I want you to do this. Maybe you need to do this. Maybe it's been too long. You pray. It's very good you pray. But praying, every Muslim prays. Every Hindu prays. Wherever I go, they pray all the time. They pray better than us. They outlast us in prayer. You know? But it's not prayer. It's answered prayer. We're the only ones where the Father said, whatever you pray, you know, in my name is what Jesus said. Whatever, and you just look at it. In my name. Pray in my name. Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will do it for you. Why? Because he takes pleasure in answering your prayer. So what you need to do, I always tell people this, no one ever does it. So every time you get a prayer answered, I said, just put it on the church wall. You know, just this prayer was answered on September 14th, 1999, whatever, you know. 2001, whatever. But anyway, have a prayer. Why would I tell you to do that? Because you forget. We all forget when God did something that answered our prayers. We forget. And then we say, well, maybe he'll answer, maybe he won't. No, you keep reminding yourself of what he's already done for you. Okay, make a memory out of an answer. And read it daily. The Jews are pretty good about that. They recorded all the things that God did for them. And they put it in a book, you know, and they read it. God, we are God's chosen people. Look what he did for us, you know. So, you are God's chosen people. He chose you, and he wants to bless you. And he has probably blessed you. He's probably saved you from accidents. He's probably given you opportunities you never had before, or insights, or your family, saved your family, or anything. Who knows? He can do it all. But you got to record it. Make a memory from a miracle. What are miracles for? They're to show that God's alive. You are the Christians. You are, what does that mean? That means Christ in. You're the Christ in. Christ is in you. And what is he doing in you? Oh, he's resting. I'm retired. I live in Florida. don't ever retire. Don't ever retire. You are not here for the purpose of retirement. I love when the Apostle Paul was on the ship and the ship was going down. That's retirement, when the ship's going down. And all the food has already been thrown off. and they didn't even cut loose of the chains, of the things that were holding them, anchoring them to the ground. Everything was lost. And they looked lost. And then an angel appears and says, I've appeared to you because this is God's plan. You have to. Remember now, this is what the angel said to Paul. Paul could have went down in that ship that day. All people on that boat thought they were going down. They were going to die that day. But an angel said this. You must appear before Caesar. Paul, we can't let you go yet. You got to appear before Caesar. Now, it's frightening. If I were to talk to you personally and say, who do you need to talk to? And you don't have anybody to talk to? Who needs to know what you know? Who needs to have what you have? And you say, I'm retired. All I need is some golf clubs and some golf balls, and that's all. And you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Why? Because there is a Caesar for you to appear before. Paul, you must appear before Caesar. I personally would let you drown, but but God wants you to appear before somebody. Amen? You got to talk to yourself that way. You can be a non-Christian, okay, then this isn't for you. But if you're a Christian, okay, then Christ is in you and he's directing you somewhere. He didn't put your car in the parking lot and say, keep it here until I return. That's not what he says. Move, get on the move, do something. You say, well, I'm sick, I can't. Well, do you have a pen? Write a note to somebody. You know, you have a phone, talk to somebody. Actually, we are in that age where you can do more on your phone than I can with my pen. And I'm embarrassed about that. I've got to learn how to do the technology better, you know? Because that's the way it's going. I don't like it to go that way, but anyway, I got to stay young. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go back to the knowing this time that we live in. Is that the guy from Michigan that just coughed at me? No. Thought we were tight, getting better. I was in Colombia with Dr. Osborne. My wife and I have been very blessed. It was prophesied over us when we were stranded in the Philippines. When we needed money to get out of town, we didn't get any money. We got a prophecy that the Lord was going to bring an elder statesman into our life for the end time harvest. Well, we had no clue nor interest at that moment in knowing it. We were just wanting to get off the island. And that happened. We did get off, by the way. I'm not on that island. But in that process, there was a number of things happened that were just, as I look back, I'm just like in wonder at God and how he is orchestrating things in your life. He knows where you're going to be 7 days from now. He is orchestrating people for you. He's orchestrating answers for your prayers. I'll stop right there and I'll tell you, just to prove to you that this is a reality of what he's doing. Time is of the essence. You carry him, and this is the only shot he gets in your world to change it. The only shot he gets is through you. You say, no, he'll find somebody else. No, he won't. You're it. Say, I'm it. That's it. In your world, you're it. And if you don't recognize that, if you're not aware of that, if you're not sensitive to that, he's just like, oh, it's going to really hurt somebody. Somebody's going to be hurt because you were not able to communicate the life that was given to you, was not given through you. And that hurt. And so I started a building. I said, Lord, I want this building. It's the third largest building in Florida, in Daytona Beach Shores. And so I only had a couple thousand dollars, and it was over $1 million. And but Leslie and I, we went after it. And, you know, I'm not going to tell you about the building, but we actually got it. But now I needed air conditioning units for it. And you know, it tops 22,000 square feet, and it's a lot of air conditioning, you know. So I said, well, Lord, you know, you have the answer. I don't have the answer. I lost my voice preaching in Kazakhstan, came back to a meeting in Dallas without a voice. That was another story. I won't go there. But I'm in Dallas, coming out of the restaurant by myself, and as I'm passing somebody who's eating, I'm just going out to the door, and it's kind of like a rope is tied around me and attached to him. I'm like, why am I attached to that guy, that stranger? Why do I feel attached to him? And I was leaving the door, and I just feeling, you know, it's good to be sensitive. Say sensitive. You can be as sensitive to the one in you as I am sensitive to the one in me. You know, I'm just sensitive. So I'm like, oh, that's okay. So stop being afraid of people or care about what they say. The only way for you to be sensitive with people is just don't be afraid of what they say or worried about what they say. So I just went up to him and I said, sir, I said, I just feel like I'm connected to you. For some reason, I feel like I'm pulled to you. I said, what do you do? He goes, well, I'm a pastor. I said, that's nice. I said, where are you a pastor? He goes, well, in Kentucky, I'm a pastor. I said, that's nice. And I said, I'm a minister too. I just came in from this country. That's nice. You know? So I said, well, tell me, what are you on? What's your project you're on right now? He goes, well, I'm building a building right now. I said, oh, so am I. I said, well, What do you need for that building? He goes, well, I just put some air conditioning units on the building. I said, oh, I need air conditioning units too. He goes, do you want some air conditioning units? I said, yeah. So I said, you said what? He said, if you want some air conditioning units, I'll give them to you. I said, well, this is not a little building. This is a big building. He goes, just tell me what you want. I said, okay. I labeled off these big air conditioning units, big ones. And he said, okay, they're yours. And I'm like, write your name down here. Give me your telephone number. And he said, you don't know me, I don't know you. You just gave me a lot of air conditioning units for a lot of space in Florida. He goes, yep. I said, how come you think you're giving me these air conditioning units? He goes, because the person in my church, he runs an air conditioning company, and he's closing his company, and he's just basically dumping all of his air conditioning units. Why not dump them on your building? So I thought, okay, this could be the truth, you know. So faith, man of faith and power. So I leave the building and go, you know, listen to the conference, go home by plane, anything into Florida, you know, the gateway to Florida is Atlanta. So I went through Atlanta, and so I'm waiting. I'm watching a football game in the business section there, just waiting 4 hours for my next flight back home. And you know how it is. It was actually a football game that everybody was loving, so it was all packed with guys watching this. And we're just sitting there. I'm not all that interested, but I'm saying, well, do something here. And then this businessman gets up who was sitting next to me. He walked by me, walked out the door. And I hear this little voice say, your answer is passing you by. Your answer is passing you by. And so I said, there's only one businessman that passed by. Now, he didn't tell me anything more. He just said that. What would you do? I tell you what, you got to be a humble person if you're a Christian. You got to find out, am I hearing the voice of God or not? And don't get upset if you're not. You know? I pastored for 2 years, a church of 300 people. And, you know, when you pastor, you got to do some series, don't you, pastor? Sometimes you actually do series. So I thought I ought to do a series on prophetic words. You know, you prophesy. And I didn't prophesy myself, but I figured we all should learn together. So I told everybody, I said, listen, turn to the person on your right and say, forgive me. And they all turned to the person on their right and said, forgive me. I said, now turn to the people on your left and say, forgive me. So they turned to the people on the left and say, forgive me. And then one of them raised their hand and said, why did you have us ask forgiveness from the people on both sides of us? I said, because we're starting a new series on prophecy and you're probably all going to miss it. But I want to know that you're already forgiven. I want you to know that you're already forgiven. And that it's okay to miss it. You know, we perfectionists, you know. I'm always shocked when God gives me a word. So I'm like, wow, that was really God, you know. And Leslie actually is pretty sensitive. My wife is pretty sensitive in that area. And every time she prophesies, I always go to the person. I said, did God really say that to you? You know? And she thinks I'm a doubting Thomas, I think. But anyway, so I go up to this guy, this businessman, who is walking down the hall now of Atlanta Airport. And I said, hey, I said, you just walked by me there in the football game. He goes, yeah. I said, what do you do for a living? And he says, well, I run a truck company. I said, do your trucks go to Florida? He goes, yeah. I says, do you have any, like, ever use your trucks to maybe do some humanitarian aid? He goes, oh, yeah, 10% of our company, Yellow Freight, does humanitarian aid. I said, well, I've got a bunch of air conditioning units in Kentucky. And would you send a truck and pick up all those air conditioning units and take them to Florida in Daytona? He goes, sure, we like to do that stuff. And I am the Florida rep for the company. So if you're on a roll, you go a little further, you know, because I had already asked people for, we need generators too, you know. And so three states had offered us generators. Larry, you've seen those generators come through the office, you know. And so I said, hey, it's not as long as you're coming to Florida, would you stop by these states and pick up generators? He goes, sure, we'll do that for you. So I had this a big truck full of everything, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of stuff just come to my door within a week. And now tell me there isn't a God. But I tell you that because you see, that God is he's not special to me. I didn't know exactly what was going to happen, but I'm willing to be wrong. Say, willing to be wrong. Okay. You got to be a little flexible with your life, you know. You can't have, you know, angels appear to you on your sinking ship. You've got to be a little more sensitive. Okay. Amen? Okay. I was going to tell you about then and now. in terms of the space of time that you're in. No, you've got to know the time you're in right now. Are you interested? Okay, okay, we're still good. We got a couple more minutes. How do I know that? Because lunch starts to speak. No. I'm teasing. I'm teasing. No, I'm just afraid of people getting up and walking out and saying, I can't stand this guy. Okay, say then and now with me. Okay. And memorize what I'm about to say to you. Okay? In the past, it was the ministry of Jesus in a Jew. In the present, it's the ministry of Jesus in you. Okay? In the past, it was the ministry. Can you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is that limited? He is. He is. He's limited to you. Wherever you go. Wherever you go. I was in a coffee shop. It was the wrong coffee shop. I was waiting for somebody, and I realized I went to the wrong Starbucks. And I'm sitting there, and there's a guy sitting next to me. And I thought, well, I might as well make good use of this time here. So I said, what do you do? Well, he goes, I'm a top executive of one of the largest companies in Canada. And he started to boast on all that he did. I said, that's nice. I said, are you going to heaven? He goes, I hope so. I said, well, you probably are not. I said, if you don't hope, I mean, if you don't know, you don't go. He's a multi-billionaire, and I'm telling him, hey, listen, your life is a mess. You know? And he goes, he started to get real angry at me. I said, listen. I said, it's true. I said, if you can get to me, you can get to heaven. Otherwise, you could end up in the wrong place, brother, with all your money, and you can't take it with you. And he says, nobody talks to me like that. I said, Jesus would talk to you like that, and he lives in me. He goes, okay, talk to me about this. And I talked to him about being how to be saved. I developed a friendship with him on the phone. He was very interested in knowing this Jesus. All he had was religion. All he had was religion. Going to hell with religion is not a good future. You know? They don't do much with your background there. So anyway, he did get saved. Praise the Lord. Now he just needs to start offering things. He needs to start giving. Anyway, he's in heaven. Praise the Lord. I got to tell you a little bit about heaven. I'll interrupt my own sermon. This helps you. I'm just giving you something that will help you. I'm not interested in giving you a sermon. I'm interested in giving you something to help you. I had a pastor call me who gives, he's been giving about $30 a month, maybe it was $40 a month, to the ministry for years. And he's called me up. I'm overseas. He called me up and says, Kevin, I got some bad news for you. I said, well, okay, it can't be that bad. You know? He goes, call me up. He goes, Kevin, I had an experience with Jesus. I said, oh, I said, that's good. He goes, well, let me tell you what happened. He says, I was taken, Jesus took me up to heaven. And I was walking down this roadway, and on the right were all these people, kind of curly hair, a little dark skin, and Jesus said to me, these are all your people. And he said to Jesus, I don't know these people, Jesus. And Jesus wouldn't respond to me. So we walked further down the road, and there was another large group of people, and just, you know, thousands and thousands of them. And he goes, he stopped again. They were a different color skin, more of a whitish skin, a little straighter hair. He goes, these are all your people. And he goes, Jesus, I don't know any of these people. I've never met any of them. He wouldn't respond. Jesus wouldn't respond. They went around the bend, and he goes, there's this vast flood of people, farther than the eye could see. He goes, I don't want to say his name, but he goes, these are all your people. And he said, Jesus, I don't understand. Why are you showing me all these people? I've never met any of these people. And then he says, then Jesus took him back to earth. He says, Kevin, it's been about a week and a half since I've had this experience with Jesus. It's really shaking me up. I've been praying about it, thinking about it. And Kevin, you're the only missionary that I support. And the bad news, I got to tell you, is that you work for me, because all the people you're getting saved, they're to my account. I'm like, wouldn't that be like Jesus? You know, give it all away. praise God. I think that actually was something that he revealed, God revealed to him. Because he says, well, you're supporting somebody. You're doing my work to the extent that you could do it. And praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We can all say that. In the past, it was the ministry of God working through two hands, two feet, one voice. In the present, it's the ministry of God working through millions of hands, millions of feet, millions of voices. In the past, it was a story of history. And that's how people read the book, like it's history. I'm not interested in history. I'm interested in making history. Amen. In the past, it was a story of history. In the present, it's a story of experience. You ask any young person, hey, you know, I was so insulted by Bible school because I thought I should get a Bible education. And so I said, well, you know, I know this Jesus. He's talking with me. And I should probably get educated on the Bible. So I went to one school, then I went to another school, and I said, I don't like what these people are teaching. You know, they had a bar fest on the opening day, that's part of the new people in the school, you know, and then a guy came up to me and he said, you know, would you like these drugs? He's got drugs and he's in a Bible school. And I'm like, what? I don't want any drugs. I'm, you know, they do that at college. Michigan, probably. So, not Michigan State. then the first class that they taught was the subject was Jesus a homosexual? I said, what kind of school is this? You know. So I sit there and I'm listening. 36 of us cadets are in this school, and then you know educators, we all had one final meeting. We spent a week with them in this process of going to school. And me and the 35 other guys are there, and they're giving us the downplay of the next steps that they have to do to become, and they guarantee us a salary of $65,000 a year if we will go to their school. They'll find the church, or that whatever they call a church, and they'll guarantee this salary for me. And they're pushing these things. And I just stood up, and I just said, Ichabod, God is not in this place. And all these professors are there. And I told these 35 guys, I said, listen, guys, I don't have to know a lot, but I do know enough to know that God's not here. Stand up with me and walk out that door with me right now. Nobody walked out that door with me. I thought I was, you know, being one of those, those movies, you know, where the guy stands up and everybody stands up. Nobody stood up. But I said, well, I'm right anyway. So I walked out. And the next school actually was a problem as well. I won't go into all the schools. But I walked out of one of their classrooms because they said that Jesus was, he gave sickness to train us. And I said, well, I may not know a lot about Jesus, but I know that he doesn't do that. So I had an experience in that school with Jesus. On that subject, and I walked out of that school. Praise the Lord. I went to, instead of going to school, what I did was I found in that school, I said, well, tell me about your missions program. So they gave me a list of about 400 cities around the world that need missionaries. So I said, I want to be a missionary. And they said, well, if you stay here for 7 years, we'll give you a degree. I said, a degree 7 years. I said, I could be a doctor with that. I just wanted to know something about the Bible, you know. And I said, well, listen, just test me a little bit. Send me to, here's the list. You pick where you want to go. We'll send you. So you mind listening to these stories? So I said, well, I got $50 in my pocket. That's the total amount of wealth that I stand for. So I found the cheapest one, and it was Paiute Indians in Nevada. They needed a missionary. So I said, I'll go to the Paiutes. I don't think I've ever told this story. I went to the Paiutes, and on the way to the Paiutes, I got somebody saved in Michigan, and I just kept going on to the Paiutes. And I got there, and was knocking on doors. A white man in a Paiute village is not a happy thing to be. I tell you, I was knocking on doors to give him Jesus, and I got door after door slammed in my face. Just door after door, day after day slammed in my face. It's the only time in my life, 40 years of ministry, that I prayed, Lord, deliver me from this place. I made the decision, deliver me from my choice. And the Lord spoke to me and says, their blood will be upon your hands if you leave. I said, that is not what I wanted to hear. I wanted to leave. So I wanted, again, you know, knocking on doors in the morning. It gets to be about 120 degrees during the day there. So I got to speak to the people in the morning and then the evening. And then rest during the heat, you know. So I knock on this door the next morning, and this guy, he's got a bottle of booze in his hand. And he says, this is ridiculous, me drinking this early. He says, what you got is right, what I got is wrong. Sit down, let's talk. And so he got born again. Went on his knees, got born again. Said, I need to find Jesus. I need to find him because I need to get delivered from this. This is wrong what I'm doing. So praise God, I got my first convert. My first Paiute. Hallelujah. I was happy. When you get rejected for 200 times, one person that makes you happy, you know. So, you people worry about getting rejected here. Forget about that. Get rejected. Get used to it. You know? What do you care about what people think anyway? You're going to heaven. Right? Take somebody with you. Carry their luggage. You know? So why not? Anyway, so I go out the next day. Regular routine in the morning, and you got to cross some fields to get to the reservation, and I find my convert, my only convert, and he's dead in a pool of blood in the field, and I'm like, that's my convert. Praise the Lord, today is Resurrection Day. I said, you know, there are resurrections in the Bible. I'm not limited by the nose, you can't do that today. I haven't read that part of the Bible yet. You know? So I just said, this is my resurrection day. Jesus raised, you know, he had a resurrection. And he raised some people from the dead, didn't he? So I said, this is when he's going to raise from the dead. So I'm just praying over him, you know. And he died probably about 8 hours ago. Now blood is hard. But I wasn't bothered. He could fix blood. So I'm just praying over them, and the children of the tribe see me out in the field. They come out, and they see that I'm over one of the dead Indians. And so they go back. They're screaming. They go back to their tribe. The tribe comes out. And so I got the tribe surrounding me, and they're all like, what are you doing? I said, I'm resurrecting this guy. You know, so I'm praying over them, and I got their curiosity. But nothing's happening. What would you do? What would you do? I said, well, this doesn't look like it's going to happen. I said, Jesus, I'll give you a couple more minutes. But then, you know, you know, I don't want to lose my crown. So this is the first time they actually are listening, you know. First time. You'd appreciate that more if you found out how many times you got rejected. You haven't gotten rejected enough. So I just put him between my legs. And he became my sermon. I talked about his past. I talked about his life that he was living, because that's what he shared with me before he made his decision. Then I said, listen, you want to see this? Is this a brother of yours? Yes. Is this a friend of yours? Yes. I said, would you like to see him again? Yes. I said, I know exactly where he is. And that got their attention. You know where he is? I said, I know exactly where he is. They said, yes, we'd like to see him. I said, well, then do what he did. I know how he got there. They said, you know how he got there? I said, yes. So then I just explained to him the gospel. The gospel is good news, no bad news. God's creation, Satan's deception, Christ's substitution, man's decision. Right? That was it. God had a decision on the front end. We have a decision on the back end. And so I said, I know what his decision was. And you can make that same decision and see him, I guarantee you. Well, 19 of the Indians got born again that day. Then they said, well, I guess you're the holy person here. You'll have to do the funeral. Another 20 got born again at the funeral. Praise God for the Paiutes. And then the next day, the Lord said, I'm sending you to school. I said, I've been trying these schools. They're not so hot. But I ended up going to Bible school the next day. Anyway, that was interesting. We're talking about then and now, knowing the time. Okay? In the past, it was the Holy Ghost upon them. You read the Old Testament, you know, it's upon them. The Holy Ghost would come upon them. Okay? Thank God we're not living in that day. You know? In the present, it's the Holy Ghost in us. Woo! 24 hours a day. I could tell you stories of him. Are you willing to be woken up in the middle of the night? I tell you what, sometimes he'll wake you up, and not to pray. He'll wake you up to talk to somebody or call somebody because he sees what's happening in everybody's life. Everybody in your world, he knows. And some of them are ready to die. You have to be sensitive. Say sensitive. I'm sensitive. Say it again. I'm sensitive. You have to be sensitive. Because he's speaking to you. You're all he's got, and he's speaking to you. I was driving my younger brother down. I took him to a church on the other side of town. And I'm driving him back home. And I took a shortcut down Chandler Drive in Detroit. And he goes, Kevin, this is not the direct way to our house. Why are you going this way? I said, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm supposed to take this way. He goes, Kevin, don't. He's complaining. You're wasting time. You're wasting gas money. Why are you? I said, I don't know why, but I'm going to do it. And within 30 seconds, a car accident occurs in front of me. And a lady, it's sad to say this, but she's thrown through her front window. And she lands in front of us. Yeah. And so there she is on the street in front of us. I said, Pat, this is why I'm on this street. So I just put the car in brake, put the brakes on, get out, run up to that lady, and I grab her head. I said, ma'am, can you speak? Blood's coming out of her mouth. No, she can't speak. I said, ma'am, you're awake. I can see your eyes. Can you hear me? Yes. She goes, I can hear you. I said, I didn't want to tell her this, but half her head is gone. I'm holding her head. And I said, listen, ma'am, you need to make a decision right now. Your future is coming upon you right now. You need to know that you're going to heaven. And the only way for you to go to heaven is Jesus. Have you made that decision? She goes, I said, you want to make that decision? She goes, yeah. All she could do is shake her head. So I said, listen, I want you to pray this. You're still thinking. Your thinking processes are still working. So I said, pray this prayer with me. You don't have to say it because she couldn't talk. She prayed it with me. I said, ma'am, I'll see you in heaven. And she died right then. It was just amazing. But listen, Jesus knows your last seconds. And you have to be sensitive, people. You're not here to just accumulate. You're here because there's a purpose for you. There's a plan for you. There's a person for you. And that's everything to God because he's designed an eternity for those people. He doesn't want them. His will is that no man die, no man perish and go to hell. That's what the Bible says. Not one. Not one lost in this region. Not one lost in Florida. Not one lost in your city. Amen? And who does he got? He's got you. Amen? Listen, are you enjoying this? Yes. If I had got through this sermon, it would be about 8 hours. I'm so sorry. I'm not sorry for preaching. I'm sorry that I had to plan a sermon for you. Because we're still on point number one. And I told you, I already gave you, how many points did I give you? At least six. Oh, dear Lord. In the past, it was Jesus of sacred history. In the present, it's the sacred Jesus living in me. In the past, it was Jesus. It was Christ in Jesus yesterday. In the present, it's Christ in me today. In the past, I'm talking about knowing the time you're in. Don't live in the past. Don't be of those people that say, I used to be married. I used to have fun. I used to be successful. I used to be interested. I used to say, get your used to out of you. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forgetting those things. I don't care how old you are. You forget that past. I don't care if you wasted that past. Forget it. You've got a future ahead of you. I was praying for a guy yesterday. He's mumbling about his past. I said, that past is dead. You can't do anything about it. But let's pray about your future. In other words, your problem is your mind, not your body. You know, you're thinking wrong, forgetting those things. Every time something negative comes to your thought, you say, nope, that's no longer me. That person died. That's over. That's gone. Here's my future. And work on that future. Praise the Lord. Can you say amen to that? In the past, it was the Bible description of the past. In the present, it's the Bible experience and action of the present. You see, my father died when I was young. When I became and I started playing tennis, my tennis coach didn't even like me. And his wife said, get rid of that guy. Because I was left-handed. There were only right-handed players at that time. I was pigeon-toed. And I had a problem with my teeth. And they're really in trouble. And so, I've played tennis left-handed, and they said, we can get rid of him honestly. Let's have a tournament. Put him up against the number one player. He'll get wiped out. We'll say the qualifications of this tournament is you have to pass two rounds before we can teach you. So they put me against the number one player. Okay, he was really 10 times better than everybody. And so it looked like my ending day. Well, that guy was so sports athlete, he was really an athlete, that he was also the pitcher of a major baseball team. And he has in a baseball match, the baseball game the night before, and thank God he got hit with a baseball right in his head, right off the bang, he got hit. He went unconscious, never showed up for the tennis tournament. I won the tournament. So I guess we got to keep them. I tell you what, use what you have to get where you go need to go, okay? Use what you have. What I had was I started to develop that skill. Have you developed something? I started to develop that skill. Develop a skill for talking to people. Develop a skill for helping people. Develop a skill in your life, something that will bless somebody. Amen? So I had this teeth problem. So I went to a dentist, an orthodontist. I said, listen. I said, do you want to win a tennis tournament? He goes, yes, I would love to win a tennis tournament, but I don't think I will. I said, do you really want to? He goes, yes, I do. I said, I guarantee you, you will. He goes, what? I said, I guarantee you, you will. He goes, you will? You guarantee it? I said, in 2 years, you'll have won your first tournament. I guarantee 100%. He goes, what do you want? I said, I want you to fix my teeth in 2 years. So he did. He fixed my teeth and he won his tennis tournament in 2 years. Praise the Lord. And I did that. I went around the world with tennis, always making deals. Trading what I have for what I need. I don't know what you have, but trade it for what you want. Amen? Go where you want to go. Hallelujah. Are we done with point number one yet? In the past, it was Jesus, the example of God in human flesh. In the present, it's his reality in our flesh. How far can you see? How far do you want to go? He puts no limitation on you.